The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the sound prints for October 3rd is online, Fantasy Book Club meets October 23rd, Novel Ideas meets October 18th, Fiction Old and New meets November 1st, A Writer's Retreat is announced for October 19th, Eyes on Success will feature Haptimage. Tech Talks meeting on October 14th is going to be discussing Zoom. And a blog on cyberbullying by Justin Patchen featuring Dr. Catherine Schneider. An article from last week that I didn't get to on the Forbes is about Braille Uno cards. LA Times has an article on accessibility, and Forbes also has an article on a father who was fired can sue under the ADA on behalf of his disabled son. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast for October 3rd is now online. Update on Larry Turnbull and a look back at his role with ACB Radio over the years. Announcements and calendar listings. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind, phone 502-895-4598, or email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Novel Ideas will be discussing the book A Spark of Light, DB92508, by Jodi Picoult, J-O-D-I-P-I-C-O-U-L-T. Guest host Liz Lindsay will lead us in the discussion of this book. Below is the Bard annotation. When a gunman bursts into a reproductive health clinic, he takes everyone inside as hostages. Police negotiator Hugh McElroy rushes to the scene only to get a text from his 15-year-old daughter, who is among those trapped inside the clinic. Join us at this Zoom meeting to discuss this great book. Hosted by Randy Shelton, email rshelton820@gmail.com. Co-host Ruth Ann Acosta, email ruth1244@gmail.com. Date, October 18th, 2019. About 10 minutes before the program, dial the Zoom numbers or execute the Zoom meeting link found on your Zoom invitation. Robert Acosta is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Topic, novel ideas. Time meets the third Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/584149162 or iPhone OneTap in the U.S. +140-863-809-861, 584-149-162#, or +164-6-876-9923-1, 584-149-162#, or telephone. Dial for higher quality. Dial a number based on your current location. US 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923. Meeting ID is 584-149-162. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/U9O(A)6R. The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Signed, Randy Shelton. Deborah Kendrick writes, "Hello, writers and readers. Some of you know that I have been waiting for more than a year for some serious surgery that I will hope enable me to walk again. That surgery has been scheduled for October 10th. For that reason, we will be holding our October meeting on the third Saturday, October 19th, at 8 p.m. In case I am still not totally coherent, Mary Hyland has agreed to step in and run the show if necessary. If you have something you'd like to have critiqued, please let me know at kendrick.debra@gmail.com. Also, Robert Acosta has generously made me an alternate host on Zoom, so I will be able from now on to get the Zoom party started. To join us, see the information below. For October 19th, 8 p.m. Eastern, peace, Debra. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android, https://zoom.us/j/28950589 iPhone 1 tap in the U.S., 1646-876-9923, 1-408-638-0986, 2-895-05-893 Or telephone in the U.S., 1-646-876-9923 or 1-408-638-0986. Meeting ID is 289-505-893. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/b(C)(E)(X)(Y)(X)0k. Those wishing to subscribe to past Writer's Retreat program archives can do so using their mobile device and podcast app of choice, or using their computers and podcatcher program of choice. The link with which to subscribe is http://accessibleworld.org/taxonomy/term/95/all/feed. The Fantasy Book Club will be held on the fourth Wednesday of the month, Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. We will continue the format of having everybody read a book and discuss their book choice with the group. In addition to that, participants will pick a book they have previously read to recommend to the group. They do not have to reread the second book, just talk about it. We will be using Zoom platform. This software can be used on all smartphones and operating systems. The relevant info is https://zoom.us/j/56111-2974. iPhone 1 tap 1-408-638-0986, 5611-2974#. Or 1-646-876-9923, 5611-2974#. Dial in the U.S. 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923 and use the meeting ID 561-112-974. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u. Julia Kulak, Group Facilitator, julia.kulak@gmail.com. Topic, Fiction Old and New Discussion Group. Time meets the first Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are pleased to welcome author Abby Taylor, who will be discussing her new novel, The Red Dress, on Friday, November 1st, 2019. The Red Dress is only available on Bookshare and Kindle. Please bring your questions and comments to what will be a fun and illuminating discussion. Here is the synopsis from Bookshare. When Eve went to her high school senior prom, she wore a red dress that her mother had made for her. That night after dancing with the boy of her dreams, she caught him in the act with her best friend. Months later, Eve, a freshman in college, is bullied into giving the dress to her roommate. After her mother finds out, their relationship is never the same again. 25 years later, Eve, a best-selling author, is happily married with 3 children. Although her mother suffers from dementia, she still remembers, and Eve still harbors the guilt for giving the dress away. When she receives a Facebook friend request from her old college roommate and an invitation to her 25-year high school class reunion, then meets her former best friend by chance, she must confront the past in order to face the future. About 10 minutes before the meeting time above, execute the below Zoom invitation meeting link on the device of your choice, or dial in with a telephone to one of the provided numbers. All are welcome. Your facilitators for this group are Michelle Bernstein, hamletssweetlady@gmail.com, and Sherry Wells, sherrywells1157@gmail.com. Zoom invitation. The Zoom meeting invitation for Fiction Old and New is as follows. Topic, Fiction Old and New Discussion Group. Time meets first Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/s/613313488. iPhone One Tap in the U.S., 1-646-876-9923, #613313488. Or 1-408-638-0986, #613313488, #. Or telephone in the U.S., 1-646-876-9923, or 1-408-638-0986, and use meeting ID 613-313-488. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/CNN(U)J(Z)01OH. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the above two numbers to initiate the call. Podcast feed. Those wishing to subscribe to past Fictional to New program archives can do so using their mobile device and podcast app of choice, or using their computers and podcatcher program of choice. The link with which to subscribe is http://accessibleworld.org/taxonomy/term/24/all/feed. Eyes on Success, Episode 1941, Hapt Image, A New Way to Explore Images, aired October 9, 2019. Show notes. Hapt Image is a system that provides blind individuals with multisensory feedback so that they can explore images in real time. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy speak with co-founders Shruti Suresh and Ting Zhang, both graduate students in engineering at Purdue University, about this novel technology, the motivation behind it, and how it works. The audio, show notes, and much more can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Subscribe to the podcast if you don't want to miss an episode, or listen on your smart home device by simply saying, "Play Eyes on Success Podcast." Enjoy! Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Cyberbullying Research Center is at cyberbullying.org. By Justin W. Patchen, October 9, 2019. Note, October is National Bullying Prevention Month. All this month, we are highlighting resources to help youth and those who care for them deal with bullying, online and off. One particularly vulnerable population is youth with disabilities. Those who bully often target those who are perceived to be different from them, and living with a disability is very often a visible marker of difference. What follows is an invited guest post from Dr. Catherine Schneider. I have known Kathy for many years. She retired from my university but is still very active in the Eau Claire, Wisconsin community. She is a champion for the rights of the disabled and works tirelessly to make their lives easier. We got to talking one day about my work and agreed that more could be done to address bullying among those who live with disabilities. Signed, Justin Patchen. Article by Catherine Schneider, Ph.D. I was born blind and grew up in public schools. Hurtful teasing, bullying, and shunning were regular parts of my growing up, and as a result, so was a very low self-concept. I hated being blind. All I knew to do when confronted by bullying was to respond with the old saw about sticks and stones will break my bones and tell the bully to shut up. Sometimes this worked, but usually not. Thankfully, some things have changed since my adolescence. There are laws like Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. Both serve to prohibit discrimination at schools or other public entities based on disability. There are online resources for parents, professionals, and teens, like the PACER Center's National Bullying Prevention Center, parent support groups for parents of children with disabilities, and social support and skill-building groups for teens with disabilities exist. Another change is the playground got larger. The online world adds wonderful access to resources and communities, but also new places to be bullied. No longer is the home a respite from bullying. Some things have not changed. A disability does make its owner more vulnerable, because whether it's physical, cognitive, or emotional, the person has some limitations that a non-disabled person does not have. Those who bully look for differences and weaknesses when choosing a target. Parents, teachers, paraprofessional aides, and therapists need to talk honestly with children who have disabilities about acknowledging limitations, learning social skills, and accentuating the child's strengths. If the child can't outrun the bully, for example, perhaps they can use their verbal powers to diffuse the situation, such as with humor. Say a loud and clear, "Stop!" or surround themselves with friends who can deflect the bully's attention. Denial at some level still exists about acknowledging what a problem bullying is for people with disabilities. When I was working on my children's book, Your Treasure Hunt, Disabilities and Finding Your Gold, several editors suggested I remove the page about what to do when bullied because that doesn't happen anymore. Parents fear to ask their child if they're bullied partly because they know they will be furious if the answer is yes. All that good advice about staying calm and not swooping right in to solve the problem goes right out the window when it's your child, especially your child who has a disability. The instinct to protect is always there, and we want to make their unpleasant experiences go away. We want to solve their problems, but in some cases that isn't the best response. Listening and giving verbal first aid, "That is wrong, I'm sorry that happened," or "I'll help if you'd like," is the way to go. Help the child brainstorm about what needs to be different next time, and role-play techniques to use. Modeling compassionate but firm problem-solving teaches more than lecturing, ranting, or stomping off to confront the parent of the mean kid. Coach the child to ask for the assistance they want. You are teaching skills that will last a lifetime. We also need to remember that bullying of the disabled and bullying in general does not end on graduation day. I recently had two encounters with an adult female bully who I needed to work with on a project. Bystanders were as shocked at her behavior as I was and did nothing. The first time I froze, but by the second time I had a caustic verbal retort ready. The bullying has not recurred since then. As I was preparing this post, I came upon a book by Melody Beattie, M-E-L-O-D-Y-B-E-A-T-T-I-E, Playing It by Heart, about how not to fall back into being a victim, that I plan to read. Memoirs like Temple Grandin's Thinking in Pictures and Mark Zupan's GIMP help teens know it will get better. Books for children and teens are available in alternate formats from www.bookshare.org so that those who don't read regular print can know they're not alone and learn ways to deal with the bullying. For me, reading and writing is therapeutic in that I can be in and help create a world where there is less bullying and more kindness and empathy. Together, we can make a better world within the pages and beyond. Dr. Katherine Schneider is a retired clinical psychologist living in Wisconsin with her 9th seeing-eye dog, Luna. Dr. Schneider has published a memoir, To the Left of Inspiration, Adventures in Living with Disabilities, and a children's book, Your Treasure Hunt, Disabilities and Finding Your Gold. You can learn more about her work at http://kathycomments.wordpress.com. Kathy is spelled in that case K-A-T-H-I-E. Posted on Forbes.com on October 1st, Mattel's Uno Braille hits Target shelves, but does it miss the point? By Peter Slayton. On diversity and inclusion. I write about undoing norms that inhibit success for disabled people. Mattel has released a Braille version of Uno, making the game accessible for some 7 million players. It's happened again. A major manufacturer of children's entertainment and learning products is releasing a version of a popular toy or game using Braille along with print, thus enabling blind people of all ages to play and learn alongside sighted people. This time it's Mattel, out October 1st with Uno Braille, which features Braille on the corner of each card, indicating the card's color and number or action. Braille is also prominent on packaging, which provides a link to UnoBraille.com for play instructions in downloadable Braille files. Voice-enabled instructions are available through Amazon Alexa and Google Home. Braille Uno was developed in partnership with the National Federation of the Blind, and the card game is available, at least initially, exclusively at Target stores and on Target.com. The NFB told Forbes that it has a long-standing partnership with Target that has advanced accessibility. The NFB has continued to turn to litigation when companies large and small balk at creating enabling access to products and services for blind consumers. This spring, LEGO announced a trial of LEGO Braille bricks that will be distributed to learning institutions and agencies for the blind. LEGO followed up in late August by rolling out a website with Braille and audio instructions for a small selection of LEGO sets. Both LEGO ventures are being driven by the LEGO Foundation and are considered pilot projects. These are exciting and important steps that will help increase Braille literacy among blind people while enhancing awareness and appreciation of Braille in society at large. The difference is Braille Uno is a commercial venture from the outset, while LEGO Braille Bricks are a test product that will not be commercially available for some time, if ever. Point to the emergence but still very tentative and even conflicted stance of mainstream companies of all kinds toward the disability marketplace. Such progress is, of course, to be celebrated and championed. It indicates that the drought of access that has been the norm for people with disabilities is, however, slowly experiencing some relief. It's also worth noting that LEGO and Mattel arrived at their decisions to explore adding Braille to their products independently, a clear signal of the changing perspective on disability in society. Promoted. It hasn't happened in a vacuum, but is a confluence of advocacy and market realities with regulatory pressures that is pushing and pulling this dynamic against a still mostly indifferent and sometimes hostile social and commercial environment. Given this context, every victory is to be applauded, and the introduction of Uno Braille is not small. According to the NPD Retail Tracking Service, Uno was the number one selling non-collector card game globally for the first half of 2019, and letting 7 million blind and visually impaired people in on the fun is undeniably a milestone that Mattel, the NFB, and Target can justly be proud of. Mark Riccobono, the NFB's president, says Mattel approached the organization more than a year ago to consult on its plan of developing Uno Braille because the company recognized the importance of incorporating the authentic perspective of blind people from the start of the project. Our collaboration has included developing Braille instructions, engaging in ongoing conversations, testing Uno Braille in focus groups, and creating and testing voice-activated tutorials for smart speakers, said Riccobono. Such progress nonetheless highlights the absence of forward movement in so many places and ways, and underscores the challenges of undoing accepted norms of exclusion, whether willful or unwitting. What would happen, for instance, if Mattel were to skip Uno Braille altogether and simply start producing all Uno decks with Braille? What if LEGO, instead of carefully testing a small curated selection of its hugely successful products in non-commercial settings, monitored by vocational rehabilitation professionals, simply brought LEGO Braille bricks to market and stopped selling LEGO bricks that did not incorporate Braille? Yes, such products are needed by only a small percentage of consumers. Yes, manufacturing procedures, supply chains, and marketing all would have to be adjusted. So perhaps would profit margins. Yet the only reason this is not the case is that it just hasn't happened yet. As I wrote about in The Trouble with Inclusion in August, Mattel and LEGO are trying to figure out just how much they really need to include blind people, or more precisely, they have come to understand that they really do need to include blind people, but are simply not sure what steps to take to do that. Is this about helping to educate blind people and expand Braille literacy through what has been an amazing engine of profit, but in this case needs to be deployed through social enterprise, like outreach, without the enterprise? Should this be a market-driven venture that demonstrates inclusion of blind people at the same time that it creates a parallel product that highlights their exclusion from the general marketplace? If Braille were on the mainstream cards and bricks sold globally, would non-disabled buyers feel demeaned by its presence? No doubt some would. Others, however, would feel surprise and curiosity. I might even feel gratified to be included in a world they too have had little incentive to understand or appreciate. In this age of machine learning, the literal hands-on learning that Braille exemplifies is no anachronism, but a concrete tool that belongs in the mainstream. Appeals court: dad fired after child born with severe disability can sue under Americans with Disabilities Act. Article by Patricia Barnes for Forbes.com. For a while, truck operator John Kelleher seemed to be a modern-day Job, the Old Testament man who suffered injustice on a scale of biblical proportions. However, things are looking up for him since a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, based in New York City, reinstated his lawsuit against Fred A. Cook, Jr., Incorporated, a sewer, septic, and pipeline cleaning service based in Montrose, New York. According to Kelleher's attorney, Stephen Bergstein, it is the first time in the Second Circuit has upheld an ADA claim based on the theory of associational discrimination. This theory holds that an employer can be held liable under the ADA if the disability of a relative was a determining factor in an adverse employment decision. The facts are thus. According to court records, Kelleher's daughter was born with a disability that was diagnosed in early March 2015 as Rett syndrome, a severe neurological disorder that affects her ability to speak, walk, breathe, and eat. Kelleher asked Cook if he could work regular 8-hour shifts so he could care for his daughter. Company officials told Kelleher that his problems at home were not the company's problems, and that he was expected to remain on site for up to 4 hours for possible emergency work. Kelleher's daughter on March 28th suffered a near-fatal seizure and was admitted to Albany Medical Center. Kelleher informed the company owner, Brian Cook, that he could not work on the following Monday. Upon returning Tuesday, he discovered he was demoted to the lower-paying position of a laborer, shoveling sewer systems. The final straw for Cook apparently was on April 16th when Kelleher arrived at work 10 to 15 minutes late. Kelleher was told to go home, and then Cook failed to return Kelleher's calls. A month later, Kelleher received a letter notifying him he was fired. Kelleher filed a federal lawsuit in 2017 alleging Cook violated the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. However, a federal judge in 2018 summarily dismissed Kelleher's case after finding the ADA did not require Cook to accommodate Kelleher's requests, and that Kelleher had effectively admitted in his complaint that he was unable to perform his required job duties, for example, staying late. The appeals disagreed. The appellate panel ruled on September 24th that Kelleher is entitled to proceed on a claim of associational discrimination under the ADA. The panel said Kelleher plausibly alleged that Cook fired him because it felt his daughter's disability was a distraction that would cause him to be inattentive at work. The rest of that article is on Forbes.com, and I've run out of time to read you the other article on disability barriers in L.A. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm Doris.